Afternoon, everybody. So in December 2015, the Puerto Rico Department of Health reported the first locally acquired Zika infection in the United States. The index case had a reported symptom onset of November 23rd, 2015. I'm sure a lot of you have heard a lot about Zika virus, but I'll go give a quick primer. Zika virus is a flavivirus transmitted primarily by the Aedes species mosquito. Studies suggest most infected persons are asymptomatic, with roughly 1 in 5 infected individuals having signs and symptoms. Symptoms include rash, arthralgia, fever, and or conjunctivitis, and I'll talk a little bit more about the conjunctivitis when we get to signs and symptoms. In Puerto Rico, surveillance for Zika virus and associated conditions have been integrated into an existing public health surveillance system. Samples are sent to Puerto Rico Department of Health from health providers through the Passive Arboviral Disease Surveillance System, or PADS, and all samples are tested for infection with Zika, dengue, and chikungunya viruses. Results from blood donor screening for Zika virus from 8 blood banks in Puerto Rico are also reported into the Puerto Rico Department of Health. In addition, dedicated surveillance systems are used to report and submit samples from pregnant women through the Zika Active Pregnancy Surveillance System, or ZAPS, and suspected Guillain-Barré syndrome patients through the Guillain-Barré Passive Surveillance System, or GBPSS. That's a mouthful. Microcephaly is also reported through a dedicated surveillance system. CDC Dengue Branch may also detect Zika-positive patients via samples received through the Sentinel Enhanced Dengue Surveillance System, or SEDS, the Chikungunya Surveillance System, or CHICS, and the Enhanced Fatal Acute Febrile Illness Surveillance System, or EFAS. Some samples from priority groups, such as pregnant women and Guillain-Barré patients, are forwarded from PRDH to CDC Dengue Branch for testing. Testing results from the Department of Health and CDC are managed through an integrated data system. From there, results are reported to health providers, to CDC ArboNet, and to investigators of non-research public health investigations. In Puerto Rico, all submitted samples have been tested using a trioplex test for arbovirus known to circulate on the island, that is dengue, chikungunya, and Zika virus. Laboratory positive cases are defined by detection of Zika virus using a diagnostic algorithm based on the number of days between symptom onset and specimen collection. Represented by the blue bar, RT-PCR tests were conducted using a multiplex test to detect Zika, dengue, and chikungunya from day 0 to day 7. Represented by the yellow bar, IgM ELISA testing was conducted from day 4 and higher. Confirmed cases were considered those with dengue virus, IgM negative result, except for pregnant women, where all IgM positive results were considered Zika virus positive, regardless of dengue IgM result. So you can see the overlap there between day 4 and 7 and for both RT-PCR and IgM ELISA. For this presentation, data was queried from the integrated data management system that I had mentioned before. Cases are reported by date of symptom onset. From November 23, 2015 to June 3, 2016, 1,675 Zika virus laboratory positive confirmed and probable cases have been detected. 82% were positive by RT-PCR, 11% by anti-Zika IgM ELISA, and 6% by both RT-PCR and ELISA. 77 cases were identified with a recent flavivirus infection. Of blood donor screening, 51 positive blood donors were identified. This is the epi curve of symptomatic cases and status of pregnancy, starting with an index case during ArboNet week 47. Weekly totals range from 0 cases in early December to 210 cases reported during week 18, or the very end of April and the first week of May. Case positivity rates among tested suspected cases has increased from the single digits during the emergence of Zika to about 30% during the last week of May. So the apparent decrease represented in the last 2 weeks of the epi curve likely represents, laboratory artifact So as those specimens, as specimens that are incoming are tested, those will likely fill out. The following map series describes the increase of and spread of confirmed Zika virus over 25 ArboNet weeks by municipality. The epidemic began on the southeastern side of the island and spread toward the greater San Juan metro region. By the end of January, cases reported from the southern side of the island, and moving into March and April, the virus spread into the western side of the island. From April to June, cases have been identified in the center mountainous region of the island. 60 of 78, or roughly three-quarters of municipalities have been affected. And if you look at the star, that's the San Juan municipal area. Of cases detected between November 23rd and June 3rd of this year, the median age was 35. Females comprised 64% of all cases. There have been no documented cases of sexually transmitted infection. There were 34 hospitals reported. There was one adverse pregnancy outcome and one death. For the same time period, there's been 191 pregnant women identified, of which about three-quarters were symptomatic and a quarter were asymptomatic. There have been 28 reported cases of GBS with six probable or confirmed Zika and six recent flavivirus. There's also been one case of microcephaly identified. So the most frequently reported signs and symptoms were rash 74%, myalgia 66%, headache 65%, arthralgia 61%, fever 60%, eye pain 52%, and the interesting thing is about a third of the cases have reported having a sore throat, and surprisingly conjunctivitis only 17% of cases have reported. Since November 2015, cases of Zika virus infection have increased. Ongoing transmission is expected to spread Zika throughout Puerto Rico and into the western region, where cases have yet to be identified, particularly in those mountainous regions. Regions with the highest population densities continue to be the most heavily affected, with San Juan metro region being the most heavily affected region in Puerto Rico. Finally, I'd like to mention some of our response and control efforts. So the three pillars of control and response that have been developed there is really protecting pregnant women. That's through developing culturally relative materials, as well as getting resources into the hands of pregnant women and their families to help protect the women. Vector control strategies, including indoor and outdoor residual spraying, and engaging the community to actually screen their houses off. And then access to contraceptives. So finally, I'd like to thank all these individuals that have contributed to developing this surveillance system. It's been a monumental effort, and at that, I will take questions. Thank you.
Hi, Jen Brown from Indiana. I'm just wondering if you have data on the proportion of presumptively bivalent blood donors who went on to develop symptoms compatible with Zika infection.
Yeah, let me. There we go. It's consistent with our epi curve towards. I mean, it's a smaller subset, so we're at 1% towards the week ending the 22nd of May. So far, we've had 51 of 1,174 blood donors that have been screened as positive.
Do you know if anybody has
been tested? We don't. We are currently investigating that.
Hey, this is Tony Tran with the New York City Public Health Laboratory. I'm just curious, your algorithm did not include urine. Is Puerto Rico not testing urine to PCR?
We are testing urine in certain instances, particularly around like GBS cases, where they found that it's actually persistent longer than urine.
Yeah, absolutely. And we found most of our diagnosed cases have actually been through urine, not serum, so that's something to consider. Also, you're testing serology. It's starting at 4 days. What's the earliest you've seen reactive IgM?
I could not tell you that. I could not answer that question. That would certainly be more kind of the laboratory side.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.